This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca.
Welcome to another episode of Lunch with a Healer. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Hoffman. Melissa Caprio, author, photographer, radio host, and creator of Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is inviting people from around the world to participate in this movement. By using photography, art, personal wishes and desires, and sending them out to the universe via a postcard, her inspiration comes from a desire to have a forum where people come together in creative ways for global change. She's currently giving workshops on photography, art, transformation, and manifestation. She guides her clients on how to create a unique postcard for added effect on the power of creative intention. Today, Melissa and I discuss the process of manifestation and, in particular, the essential elements necessary to successfully manifest your desires. And here is my interview with Melissa.
The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Welcome, Melissa, to Lunch with a Healer.
Thank you, Susan, so much for having me. I'm so excited to be talking with you today.
Back at you. I'm very excited about this. Please introduce yourself to my listeners.
So my name is Melissa Caprio. I am an author, a photographer, a radio host, and a podcaster. And in the end of 2019, my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, came out. It was debuted at the end of 2019. And I also have a radio show with the same name. It's Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe. I mean, creating the, not Harness the Universe's Power. Look at me. It's Creating the Life You Crave with Melissa, right? So I feature a lot of different authors and people doing healing work and that kind of stuff on my show, which I also make a podcast. So that's a little bit about me currently. Like I said, I'm a photographer is my first love. I have a fine art background, and I worked for many years photographing dolphin human therapy, which was therapy with disabled children doing with dolphins down in the Florida Keys. So I did that for 7 years before I did the work that I'm currently doing now. Yeah, very different work.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. So then how did this path to author and podcast host and the postcards from the universe, how did this all come about?
So when I was living in the Florida Keys, at the time I was married, and everything sort of kind of like came about at the same time. So the company that was doing the therapy was leaving. The relationship was ending. And so in the span of a very short period of time, those two things came to an end and I moved. I left the Florida Keys and I moved. And so it all kind of happened so fast that it kind of shook me a little bit, you know, like leaving all of these things, you know, at once. And I was doing a lot of, why me? Why did this happen? I love that job so much. You know, I wasn't the kind of person that wanted to come, you know, have a divorce. My parents have been together forever. My grandparents also were together forever. So that wasn't really in my, you know, DNA. Like, I didn't want that. So I was feeling like lost. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Why is this happening? I'm a good person. You know, those are the things we say, like, right? Like, I'm a good person. This shouldn't happen to me. It has nothing to do with that. So I started doing some reading and discovered manifestation and the law of attraction. And I thought, oh, you know, this makes sense to me, you know? So the good news and the bad news is we co-create with the universe. So a lot of the things that are unwelcome, we are also magnetizing towards us, right? But good news is when you know that, you get to be conscious of where your energy is, where your thoughts are going, where your vibration is, so that you can rise that, so you can manifest the things that you do want. with postcards. So there was a period of time where I was doing just commercial photography and it was fine and I like it, but it's not a love, you know, it was just to pay the bills. And one night I heard, I mean, I really heard it in my head and I heard it loud. It said postcards to the universe. And I thought, wow, this is important. I didn't know, you know, why it was important yet, but I just felt that it was. It was like I was falling asleep, but I wasn't quite asleep. So I heard it super loud. I got up and I went and I bought the domain name and I knew it was important, but I didn't know why. And I just kind of sat there for a while. Like it did nothing. I just owned it. And there was a lot of synchronicities. I met the right people that helped me narrow down what I wanted postcards to be about. So of course I was meeting these people, right? Because I had put the desire out there and it was coming back to me. And I created a website where I asked people to send me a postcard, a manifesting postcard. It's kind of like vision boards, but right. Smaller scale. So instead of, you know, people do vision boards, especially around the new year for everything they want for the, right. to come in the new year. So I have people create a postcard around one thing at a time. Let's just focus on one, whether it's a new career, it's a move, it's a new relationship, or, you know, to heal a relationship, whatever it is. And then send it to me. And when their manifestation becomes there in physical form, when it shows up for them in physical form, share with me your story. I photograph the postcard and then I put the photograph next to the story. And that's basically what the book is about in a nutshell. There's 30 of those in the book, along with exercises and how can we get clear on what we want to manifest and writing exercises and fun little manifesting games we can do to try to, you know, shift our vibration.
That's fascinating. And thank you for that introduction, because that's what this entire interview is going to be about. And we're going to take it apart piece by piece. So that's
sure.
The first thing I'm going to ask you is, while you were on your journey, mm-hmm. particular books or authors stood out for you as being really helpful?
The first one was probably Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've always loved Louise, and I actually saw her once at a Hay House thing before she passed, which was amazing. So I really dove into Louise, and from Louise, I had heard about Wayne Dyer. I knew who he was, but I wasn't very familiar with his work, and she talked a lot about him, so then I started reading his work. So I would say those were the first two that kind of planted the original seeds in my brain that said, you know, maybe you should look at this, you know, you should think about this. Yeah. So I would have to say those two first.
Okay. Okay. They're great. Both of those, that's for sure. So you did a lot of inner work.
Oh yeah.
What modalities did you have? Someone that worked with you?
Yes. So I did a Debbie Ford's spiritual divorce. I don't know if you're familiar with before she passed away, with a coach who studied under her. And that really helped me shift my thoughts about, you know, the relationship and who's to blame and, you know, that kind of stuff, and really look at my own stuff. You know, I had to look at keeping my side of the street clean. It didn't matter what, you know, was coming from the other, but where was I contributing? You know, what was I doing? What was I unconscious of? So I worked with a coach for a long time, and that really, really helped me, you know, release a lot, do some self-forgiveness, you know, kind of like accept where I was and realize that there was a greater thing out there for me to do. You know, like I needed these things to happen so that it would propel me to where I am now. But I didn't know that at the time. If you would have asked me at the time, I would have said, no, you're crazy. You know, when you're in pain, you know, and it's hard to accept that. And I had to really mourn the loss of not even the relationship, the job that I had, because I loved it so much and it ended. And I didn't realize that at first, you know, but then that kind of seeped in and I had to do a lot of work about releasing that part of my life and that time. And I cherish it. I mean, it was such a wonderful experience. And now I look back so fondly, but you know, I had a lot of pain leaving that job too, because I loved it.
So what modalities did you use in releasing all that? I'm curious. I'm curious because everyone has different modalities that work, and there are so many. So I'm curious what worked for you.
Yeah, so a couple of things that I did were, one was the morning pages. I got that from The Artist's Way. It's called Morning Pages. And you just, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is, you know, after you grab your coffee or whatever, your tea, whatever you drink, and you sit down and you just expel. You just expel everything that's going on. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be legible. Nobody's going to read it. And scream in your journal if you want. Like, you could just curse, whatever you want to do. You're just dumping. And I did that for a while. I don't even know how long, but a while I did that consistently. And that really helped me. And then I did mirror work that I learned from Louise Hay about getting and saying loving things to myself in front of a mirror every day. And I did that consistently, I would say, for like every day for 6 months. Now, I don't sit down necessarily every day, but I am conscious when I look at myself in the mirror to give myself a compliment, to say something nice to myself, or just say, I love you, you're doing great, you know, something like that. But I did it every day for a good 6 months. And that really shifted a lot of things inside of me. That really healed a lot, because we're very mean to ourselves.
Oh, tell me about it. We're our worst enemies, are that voice in our head, that demon. You know, I actually have heard you talk about the mirror work.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when I heard you talk about it, and I thought a lot about it, it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
Because when you're in pain, you're generally coming from a place of low self-worth at that point.
Absolutely.
And so at the beginning, were you authentic when you said it?
No.
Right.
No, I would say something and I would say, yeah, right. And then I would start criticizing myself, like, look at your hair, look at your face. You know, you're commenting about your body and your looks, because we're so, especially as women, I know men have this too, but women especially, you know, it's force fed down us that we have to look, you know, thin, young, and beautiful for our whole lives, right? Like, that's like our worth. And it's really hard to shift off of that, you know, to go deeper. So at first, no, and I cried a lot. I did it purposely, like she recommended, in the morning, no makeup, no hair done, you know, like to see myself as I am, not necessarily how I want everybody else to see me, but you know, you know how it is, like, because it's about loving yourself, right? It's about falling in love with yourself, and not in an egotistical way. It's not like that. It's different. It's you get a strong sense of self and self-esteem. And when you learn to love yourself, you'll notice that you set up boundaries where you may not have had boundaries before with other people and what you'll tolerate from other people, which is a nice side effect of that work.
That's very interesting. So what's your life like now as a self-empowered woman? And then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of manifestation. But what is your life like now?
My life is good. Like, I'm very happy. You know, I'm a work in progress for sure. It's not like I wake up every day jumping out of bed full of joy and you know, some days it's tough, you know, something's going on and it shakes me, but what I like now is I have the tools in my toolbox where I can say, okay, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling resentful. Whatever it is, frustrated, let myself feel it, process it, you know, allow myself to cry if I need to, or yell, or write in a journal, or whatever I need to do. Just try not to hold on to it. And some days, you know, maybe a little bit more difficult. And so I may give myself a pass that day. That day I may, you know, read all day, or I may, you know, binge watch a show, you know, like you need sometimes to take a step away and then come back to it. So I'm much more self-secure now than I've ever been in my life. More self-assured, and I'm comfortable in my own skin, which is really, really nice. But like I said, I'm a work in progress. There's still more to do, you know.
always. I think until the day before we stop breathing, we're a work in progress. I truly believe that. And particularly for women, as you say, All right, let's get down to it. Let's talk about the process of manifestation.
Okay.
So what are the steps?
Okay. So we're always manifesting whether we realize it or not, right? So science is catching up with this thought process is now that we can measure energy, right? We can measure energy. We know an atom in one place can be affected by an atom in a completely different place. They've been able, physics and all that stuff has been able to measure it. So if you think about your thoughts as part of that energy, not just what you say. I mean, I'm very conscious about not complaining, although sometimes I still do, but you know, trying not to complain. But it's not even just in what you speak out loud, which is very powerful. It's also what you're saying inside your head. So we have so many unconscious thoughts in a day that we're not even realizing it. If you can start practicing catching yourself when you're going down that negative thought, that rabbit hole of negative thoughts, and saying, stop, I heard you, got it. Okay, we're going to reshift and focus on something else. When you start to do that, what you'll notice is the more you do it, it will start to shift your emotions. And when your emotions start to rise and you feel happier, you feel more joyous, you feel more abundance, what starts to you'll start to notice is things around you will start to come to you. The things that you may be thinking that you want, the things that, like I said earlier, like when I just started with this whole manifestation law of attraction, all of a sudden I met all these people who were into all this stuff. Like, where did they come from? You know, they came from me manifesting it because I asked for guidance and I wanted to learn more. So the universe brought it to me. So that is kind of, you know, what we should be trying to do as, like, I think of it as like co-creating with the universe, right? We're not completely creating. Unforeseen circumstances do happen. We're involved with other people. They're manifesting their own stuff, you know? So it's much deeper than that, but you do have control over your emotional body. And if we can learn to do that, then we raise our vibration and it just, you just feel better. And when you feel better, what happens? You're just more joyous, right? Mm-hmm. So that is, I hope I answered it kind of what you were thinking. I can.
Yep, that's the first step. Absolutely. Yeah. So once you get into that stage, mm-hmm. And that's, you know, some people are going to do this, and it may mm-hmm. work for them to manifest little things, but to truly be a manifester in mm-hmm. a profound way, you have to really do a lot of inner work. You know, I think that people have the wrong idea about manifesting in some ways. Mm-hmm. You know, they think, oh, I want to manifest a BMW. But it's really so much deeper than that. And it might work once.
It might.
Or twice. Right. But then you lose it. Oh my God, what's happening? Why can't I do this anymore? Mm-hmm. Because they haven't done their inner work.
Exactly. And it's funny that you said that. Okay, so let's use your example of the BMW. So can you imagine yourself, say you want a BMW, well, can you imagine, and let's say you're driving a car that has like 200,000 miles on it. It's a 10, 12, 15 year old car. Can you see yourself driving a BMW? Can you feel it? If you think like, oh, that's never going to happen to me, but I really want it, but it's never going to happen for me. I can never get it. Well, then it doesn't matter how much you really want it. If you don't believe that you can see yourself doing it, then it's not. And you have to feel worthy of it. And you are worthy of it. Our unworthiness comes from our backgrounds, our past, what we say to ourselves, but we're all worthy. So when you start to really feel that you're worthy of that BMW, that Tesla, that mansion, that relationship, that career change, that raise, whatever it is, that's when those things start to come. It's really, I think 99.9% of us have a self-worthiness issue. I think we all have it. And I think Absolutely. We're all working on it. I think we're all working on it and we're in different stages. Some of us are a little bit more up here because we've done more work, or some of us haven't gone there yet. They're too scared to even look at that. They're not ready. And that's fine. You know, you'll get ready when you're ready.
Right. And they may not be ready in this lifetime of theirs.
In this life. Exactly.
Yeah.
It may be a couple more lifetimes before they're ready.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think it's a really high percentage for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you asking this in a meditative state? Are you at your desk working and you just kind of stop for a minute and kind of daydream?
I think for some people, it is a visual, like doing a visualization is very powerful, you know, sitting down and closing your eyes and picturing yourself, you know, in that daydreaming, in you're in that environment that it is that you want to create is very powerful because you're tapping into that energy of that. So yes, I definitely think that that's really a strong way to do it. Another thing that I think is really good is before you go to bed, as you're falling asleep, if you can imagine it, you know, even if it's only just for a couple of minutes, you're imagining yourself as you're going into your dreams. Like a lot of people will fall asleep with the television, and I don't do that purposely because I don't want, it's distracting to me and it takes away from, you know, the calm that I want to bring into my dream world. So that's a wonderful place to start. Obviously, I'm going to say make a postcard around it. because you tap, the thing about the postcards is it's not the postcard itself. It's the energy that you're putting into it as you're creating it. Like, right. And you get, it's fun, you know, like a right. little kid. That's why kids are so wonderful at manifesting because they don't even realize they're doing it. They right. just are so powerful at it. So when you tap into that creative energy, I think creativity is a very powerful tool for manifesting. When you're tapping into that, that's what you're doing. And then I always tell everyone, take a picture of your postcard so you have it, print it out, put it on your phone screen, print it out, put it in your fridge, your bathroom mirror, whatever, just so it's something that your subconscious is always aware of, right? And right. it'll start looking for those things that will bring you what you want and then send it to me, of course. And then when it comes to your reality, share it with me, let me know. And we'll,
I know? Actually think that's very cool. And I understand now more than ever what you're doing. And while they're making the postcard, they're putting in the emotion, the energy, mm-hmm. Exactly what you're supposed to do when mm-hmm. you're trying to manifest. But do you have to be a creative, an artist?
No,
to do this?
No. That's the other thing. I'm so glad you asked me that question. We're all creative. But some people think they have to be like a, you know, a Salvador Dali or a Picasso right. or something. You don't have, you know, you don't have to be like that. You know, we have so much visual tools at our disposal now that I tell people, you know, to make one, you know, sit, go through Pinterest and find images that you like and right. print them out, or go old school and buy magazines. I have tons of magazines, you know, go old school and buy magazines and cut them out and right. put your affirmation, your in the I am or I have instead of the I want. Like right. If it is a new relationship, you could say I am married to the love of my life, even though you may not even be seeing anybody. It doesn't matter. You're creating that for yourself. So, and find the images that correlate with that. It could be couples holding hands. If it's a new house, do pictures of the kinds of house that you like, the style that you like, cut those out. You know, I'm living in my dream home. It doesn't matter what it is, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I have some people who will make a postcard, like have sent me like 5 or 6, 7, 8 postcards of different things that they want after, you know, they get what they already, their original postcard. Yeah. Well, we keep
really
sending postcards and I love it.
That's mm-hmm. really interesting. But does potentially continually thinking of it or looking at the postcard or thinking about the object or what you want in your life and not getting it as quickly as you may want to receive it, can it put you then in a state of lack?
Yes. For anybody who's listening, think of something really small that you don't see on a regular basis that you wouldn't really care about. Let's say, like one, I did this exercise in a workshop where I said, I'm going to manifest a pink feather. Somebody else said, I'm going to do a ladybug. And she literally did the ladybug 15 minutes after the thing. She found a little jewel ladybug on her floor, right? You don't really care about it. You're not attached to it.
Right.
So, you know, so I found the pink feather the next day. It just, I was walking along and there was a pink feather. Like, so
really?
Do something. Yeah. Yeah, really. So do something that you're not attached to, something that's easy. Like, Okay. Something like that, you know, pick something like that, test it out, see what it's like. Now, what happens is when we really want something, we become attached to it,
right?
If it's the new career or the new home, the new relationship, whatever, more money. And we have a habit as us humans as worrying about when it's going to come, how it's going to come, what it's going to look like, and why isn't it here yet? And what we've just done is we're resisting it. We're pushing it away because we're in worry now. We're not in the gratitude as if it's already here. So it's tricky. It's not easy, but it's doable. So you have to get into a space of saying, I trust that the universe knows better than me, and divine timing is also at play here, and it's going to come. And I always use, and I've talked about this on other shows, my show and other podcasts, Lise Hay's example of placing an order at a restaurant. When you place an order at a restaurant, you don't worry how they're cooking it. You don't worry anything, what ingredients they're putting in it. You have 100% faith that it's going to come out from the back and be put in front of you for you to eat, right? Who sits there and worries about what the chef's doing? Nobody.
Right.
So if you can think of it, and that helped me so much, because I'll catch myself and I'll be like, Melissa, you put your order into the main restaurant. Don't worry about it. Stop. You know, I have to tell myself that a lot. It's just talking to ourselves. Yeah. We talk to ourselves all the time. So if we can be conscious to talk to ourselves more kindly and talk to us like you would talk to your children.
Right.
You know, somebody young that you love, that you know you're kind of responsible for their own brain and self-worth. Like, you would never talk to them like that, right? You would talk to them so wonderful.
Kidding. Yeah.
You would say, you can do this. Don't worry. It's going to be fine, you know? So that's how we have to learn to talk to ourselves.
That is really good advice. That's very well said. I think that the intention, but then allowing it is probably, and the letting go of it, as you've just addressed, but allowing it, getting ready to receive it is probably the most difficult. And I know you do talk about how you can shift your energy to a state of allowing. Are there two basic components to shifting energy?
I think the two is, like, I'm going to go back to what we talked about before. I highly recommend mirror work for shifting your energy. I highly recommend it. It's not easy, and it may be very painful in the beginning. There may be a lot of tears, but I really think it's so, so powerful and I just finished my first draft of my second book, and I talk a lot about the mirror work in that book. And it really does something to you. It really, if you stick with it, and I can promise you, you're going to criticize yourself at first. You're going to notice every flaw. So don't worry about it. Just say, yeah, okay, I see it, but that's not why I'm here, right? It'll start to change.
So basically you're saying, getting into receiving mode is all about feeling worthy to receive. And I do 100% agree with that.
Yeah. We have to feel worthy to receive. And then the second thing that I always talk about, which is also in the book, is gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most powerful manifesting tools you can have. The more grateful you are in what you already have, the more things will come to you to be grateful for. And I cannot stress those two things enough. Like, if that's the magical elixir, I would say the worthiness and the gratitude. If you can find and work with whoever you need to work with, if it's a traditional therapist, if it's a coach, if it's a shaman, a healer, a Reiki master, it does not matter. If you feel like you can't get past it and you need help, go and get yourself help because it's so worth it. It's so worth it.
Yeah. How do you not agree with being grateful and appreciative of what you've got? Although so many people are not.
Think about your home. I love my house. I love my house so much. I tell it I love it all the time. I love my bedroom. I made my bedroom beautiful. I love everything about it. I love my bed. And I say it all the time because I'm so grateful, you know, and I'm so grateful, you know, you can relate to this, Susan, because you come to Florida. I am so grateful for a central AC. Like I say, you know?
Yep.
But like, those are things that we take for granted, you know, hot water, you know, fresh water to drink, you know, food in your refrigerator, the opportunity to buy organic food if you know that's available to us. There's so many things. So once you start looking at that and really being grateful for it, you'll notice more gifts fall in your lap. You know, they just do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the universe is saying, all right, you're doing it. I gotcha. You know, yeah, that's it. That's where you're supposed to be, you know? Yeah.
Do you still use affirmations?
All the time. All the time, every week. So every day. So I do a magic, I call it my magic Monday message on Mondays, and I'll take a postcard and I photograph it with the affirmation. And that's the affirmation I focus on for the week. So I will play with that affirmation. And then, of course, it lets me be really creative and use my photography, which is my first love. And I set it up. I set all the way I want it to look and, you know, and all. And I shoot it in my home. I have like, I'm living in an art, it's like a art loft workspace that I live in. So it's like a studio also. So I shoot it here in my home and, I play with affirmations every day. Yeah, definitely. I'm big on the affirmations.
Okay.
And that, like I said, I have to attribute that to Louise, you know, she like sparked that fire for me, you know?
So on that note about Louise Hay then, do you believe that you're able to self-heal?
I do.
Okay.
I do. The old paradigm is hard to let go of, you know, especially if you're having a physical issue. It is hard to trust in your own self, in your own body to able to heal itself. But I do think that it is possible. I'm not going to say that I am there yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But yes, I do know that there are some people that, I mean, Louise did it for herself. She had cancer and she healed it. So yeah, I definitely believe it's true. I definitely believe that we can. Mm-hmm.
What's your second book about? What's the name of it?
So I'm not sure about the name yet. So I'm not going to reveal the name quite yet. I'm going back and forth. But basically, it's 52 weeks of self-healing and self-love work. So each week, it's based off my magical Monday messages. I'm going to take a card and I'm going to make them oracle cards. So they're going to be a physical deck also. And you can pick for the day or whatever with the affirmation. And we're going to focus on that affirmation for the week. And I have exercises to do at the end of the day. And that's basically what the book's going to be about. So it's 52 weeks of self-love, really. And I'm using my photography as part of it because I have to put my photography in it.
Well, that's terrific. What would be a daily non-negotiable for you? Are you a meditator?
I'm not great at meditating. And I have to be honest, I have a mind that really is all over the place. I don't know, you know, if it's because I'm a Gemini. Geminis are ruled by Mercury, which is all in the mind, communication. So it's really hard for me to meditate. But in the morning, I have a non-negotiable. I shut my phone off when I first wake up for 2 hours. And I will read something inspirational that I can. So that's kind of my form of meditation. I'll read something inspirational. If I feel called, I'll do some journaling, you know, to just get some of my feelings out, or I'll listen to something very inspirational, you know, I'll listen to it. And then I started this past year, I started rowing. Mm. And it's really cool because the machine I use has the virtual places that you can go all over the world. So I'll put something on, I'll listen to something like very like really meditative music or whatever. And I kind of get in the zone. So I guess that would be a form of meditating, but in the traditional sitting with the meditation and quiet my thoughts. I don't even try to quiet my thoughts because I'm fighting myself.
Well, yeah, that would be the worst thing to do. I think the biggest misnomer is there's only one way to meditate. It can be whatever works for you. Yeah. What's the percentage of success, you think, of the people that send you postcards to actual manifestation?
That's a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that before. I mean, I have hundreds, so I probably would say about 30 to 35% have followed up. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I mean, you know, you have to really, like we said in the beginning, you have to do the inner work. It's not like, I want a BMW and then you just sit on your couch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not like that. And I loved The Secret, but I think The Secret left out a very important component that you have to take inspired action also for what you want, right?
I was going to ask you about inspired action.
Yeah. So we have to do that. I mean, if I want to be an author, I have to write.
Right. Right.
You know, it might not be great at first, but I have to write. I have to seek out if I want to be published, traditional publishers or agents or whatever. I have to do the work to get my book published.
How long did it take you to write your book?
It took I would say a couple of years. The second one didn't take me a couple of years. The second one took me, I did it through the pandemic because I was home so much. So I would say about a year, that one. The first one, a couple of years, because I was asking people, I was also waiting for other people to share their stories with me. And I wanted to have enough variety in stories so that I could share. Like there's a lot of different stories in the book, you know. Some are about relationships, some are about health, some are about career, you know. So I wanted to have like a variety of stuff to share. So that took about a couple of years. And then interestingly enough, when you write nonfiction, you don't have to necessarily have the book finished before you get a publisher. You have to have a book proposal and they give you a timeline. So I had a lot of the book done as I already had the book proposal, and my postcard was about getting it traditionally published. I had that on my wall. I wanted it to be a traditional publisher. And so when they sent it back and they gave me a timeline, that really helped me.
Yeah.
Okay. They wanted it and they said, yes, we're interested. It's really exciting. When can you think that the book would be finished? I had to give myself a reasonable timeline to finish the book.
Right.
So that gave me, it held me accountable, which is always nice to have somebody hold you accountable if you are working on something.
It's no small feat to write one book and to have written and almost, you know, you're going to publish your second is really something. Where can my listeners find you?
They can find me if you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com. Everything is there. So if you're on social media and you want to follow me, everything's under Postcards to the Universe. But my book, you can purchase my book from that site. I have all the Magic Monday messages that I post on there. I do it on Mondays because everybody's like, Monday, they all hate Mondays. So I'm like, well, let me do something nice on a Monday.
I think that's brilliant.
That's why I picked Monday.
Yeah.
And then if for your listeners, I'm also, if you sign up for my newsletter, and I'm not a big emailer, I don't spam people. I don't send constant things like I get from others. You know, I can't. It's just people are so bombarded. I give two free gifts. One is how to create a manifesting postcard. It comes to you automatically. And the other is a 44-page PDF on manifesting using gratitude. And I talk about using our phones as a camera to photograph those things we want to bring into our life and how we can use a visual component to help us in manifesting. And it's free. So for anybody who signs up for my newsletter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guess who's going to sign up?
Great. Tell me what you think. I want to hear your thoughts. Yeah.
That's terrific. Are you also on Instagram?
I am. Postcards to the Universe. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and recently TikTok.
This has been fascinating. You're very articulate. I learned a lot, so I'm very grateful.
Thank you. I'm grateful too. Thank you so much for having me. I love being able to talk about it. So I get super excited. It lights me up when people are like, when you know. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me the time and the platform.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you, Susan.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.